It's showtime.
Cussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. We are off and running for this 26th day of February 2020. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb cube. And, of course, this is Prayer Meeting Wednesday. Oh, yes, praise. Bless his holy name. But it's not just Prayer Meeting Wednesday. It's not Make an Ash of Yourself Wednesday. It's the first day of Lent, when Christians go to their dryers and clean out all the fuzzy stuff out of that little trap thingy, and I don't know, maybe weave a blanket out of it or something. I can't keep up with the silliness. I just can't. Hi, I'm Bob, and this being Prayer Meeting Wednesday, we have a question coming in. Brother Deacon Asa wants to know, question for the faithful brethren and sistren. If one puts the host, you know, the magic cracker, through a teleporter, is it still considered the body of Christ when it comes out the other end? These, says Brother Deacon Asa, are the questions the Brother Deacon stays up at night pondering. Oh, right up there with angels dancing on heads of pins and... But we do have one question answered for this prayer meeting Wednesday. The Archdiocese of Chicago has declared that no, a veggie burger is not okay on Friday, because during the dryer Lent season, Roman Catholics aren't allowed to eat meat on Friday. In fact, the priests have none. Roman Catholics can't eat meat on Friday as a means of showing that they understand the suffering of Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer who wore a dress every day of his life and was a semi-literate itinerant rabbi. By not eating meat, they manifest that they know what real suffering means. And so some people had put the question to the Archdiocese of Chicago and said, well, okay, I mean, like, could we have, like, one of those incredible Whoppers or a veggie burger on Fridays? And the arch super bishop or whatever he is just kind of, you know, with the Captain Picard hand on the forehead thing. No, you can't have a veggie burger on Friday. You can't. No, just cause it's veggie. It's not about the meat. It's about, why not just fast? Just in case anybody was wondering, I don't know how many people we have that observe that business, but no veggie burgers. Eat your fish. So, that. You know, for pity's sakes. Every program here at the Horn does begin with gratitude, and this program is no different this prayer meeting Wednesday. Thanks go out to our subscribers for the 26th day of the month. Thanks very kindly indeed to Peter and to Michael and Madison. Thank you very kindly. And thank you last night after the program to Brian for jumping in. And thank you just shortly before the program for a Have a Show on Me from Stephen. Thank you. And thank you to our buddy Kyle in Kentucky Stan for jumping in. That's some pretty good news all taken together. And so it takes our fundraising goal from what had been 745 down to 515 to finish the week. $515. Thank you very, very kindly. And let me note, there will be programs for the remainder of the week. I won't be taking my little road trip, much as I'd like to, because I have to be here to hold down the fort while Agnes is tending to our eldest, who is just sick. Oh, she's miserable, poor baby. And Agnes, and of course that gives Agnes a chance to be with the grandbabies a little bit, which that's always good for Agnes. And we've got snow starting later tonight through tomorrow, possibly into Friday, and temperatures dipping into the mid-teens. Oh, that's going to be so fun. So I won't be going anywhere. But that the good side is we will have programs. We'll have a Thorn in the Side Thursday tomorrow, and a Friday on the Front Porch on Friday, all of which is happy stuff. The stack today is big. It's big with regular news, and it's big with religious weirdo news. So with that being the case, I have a feeling we'll be just checking some texts and emails and whatnot. So anyway, we've got a good start on finishing the week. That's wonderful, wonderful news. Before we jump into the prayer meeting Wednesday thing, a few things. One, I think we will probably hear in about a little less than an hour. Check in. Nitwit Nero is going to give a major address, definitely a major address, about the coronavirus. Yeah, he spelled it C-A-R-O-N. It's the Karen virus. Karen. Yeah, right. And he's going to address the nation, undress the nation, grab the nation by the, you know, at about 6 p.m. Eastern time. So I'm going to try to find a feed for that so we can check in on that, because people are beginning to get a little, especially after yesterday, a little nervous about COVID, in COVID, novel COVID. And justifiably so. And Nitwit Nero's not making it any better, because he accused, the Democrats are trying to scare people. We've got this taken care of. The Karen virus is going to be stopped by my wall. Oh, Jesus God. Yeah. News came out today that more people now have, the virus is growing faster outside China than it is inside China. The cases have begun to slow inside China, and they're speeding up outside. People in South Korea are protesting and calling for South Korea's president to be impeached over his response to it, saying that he's acting more like he cares more about China than he does about South Korea. Kind of makes you wonder what's happening inside North Korea. Not that Kim Jong Bad Golf Pants would say anything to his buddy Nitwit Nero, or as Kim refers to him, the dotard. It's a notoriously closed society. It's a secretive state. But you can't imagine that they're well prepared for it. And being North Korea, maybe they'd just shoot you if you get it. I don't know. But it's hard to imagine that if it made it to South Korea, that it hasn't made it to North Korea. Who knows? So anyway, here in about an hour, we'll check in and, just catch a little bit of the blithering idiocy of it all. And, I don't know. Maybe we won't. I don't know. But the thing is, it's convenient, this being prayer meeting Wednesday and all, because the virus is turning into good business for the grifters and grafters and hustlers and cheats and snake oil salesmen of the religion industry in a big way. Oh, yeah. Take, for instance, Randy, not in PA, different Randy, sent this story along from the Tampa Bay Times. I'm sorry, Creative Loafing of Tampa. My bad. Tampa is where Rodney Howard Brown, who has the South African accent that I can't do for some reason or another, always comes out sounding like Crocodile Kincaid. Rodney Howard Brown is based in Tampa. And he claims that he has... Yeah, what's that, Kyle? Kyle says, oh, Jesus, the guy who doesn't believe in vaccinations because autism, even though that's debunked, and is trying to defund the CDC. Well, at least cut the budget. Yeah, that's the guy who's going to tell the nation about how he's going to help stop the spread of a deadly virus. Call me crazy, but that doesn't exactly inspire a whole lot of confidence for me. Nor I, but it will make the maggots happy. So anyway, Rodney Howard Brown has done things, among others. He's laid hands on and prayed over the Tangerine Tiberius there in the Oval Office. He says he kept Florida from getting wiped out by the Zika. And he's gonna stop the coronavirus in its tracks, too. Yeah.
And we just stood and declared, we cursed that thing in the name of Jesus. And Zika disappeared. We are doing the same thing with the coronavirus. We do not need it on these shores. And obviously, somebody said, well, what about the rest of the world? Look, I can't be responsible for every city or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, he can do Florida. But he can't do Georgia. He certainly can't do New York, California, or any of the other countries. I mean, he's just one man. He can't say, I curse the coronavirus in the name of, the whole world. That's just too much to ask of a Christian magician. Uh, As Flavio points out, in the it's only the British Medical Journal. Bernie was quoting The Lancet last night in that disaster of a debate, a pageant. Truly, last night was a pageant. And the CBS talent was horrible. But, yeah, Flavio says, quoting The Lancet, although healthcare expenditures per capita is higher in the USA than in any other country, more than 37 million Americans do not have health insurance, and 41 million more have inadequate access to care. We calculate that a single-payer universal health care system is likely to lead to a 13% savings in national health care expenditure, equivalent to more than $450 billion annually in the United States, based on 2017 dollar values. The entire system could be funded with less financial outlay than is incurred by employers and households paying for health care premiums, combined with existing government allocations. This shift to single-payer health care would provide the greatest relief to lower-income households. Furthermore, we estimate that ensuring health care access for all Americans would save more than 68,000 lives and 1.73 million life years every year compared with the status quo. That is the crummy, craptastic system that we have now. So I just wanted to get that out there before we moved into the great bulk of prayer meeting Wednesday, because I don't think I don't think Rodney Howard Brown can pray away and do, you know, miracle Jesus magic to keep keep everybody from being sick. I mean, he just says he can't. It can't be done. Kyle in Kentucky Stan says, LOL, wait, the Christians made a spell to get rid of viruses? What do you need God for if the people can do it? Hell, they should just cast a spell to end hunger if it's that easy. Hunger, poverty, sure. Somehow they never get around to it, though. Steve in New York notes, the coronavirus, yeah, Trump's going to nuke it, you know, just like a hurricane.
Nuke it like a hurricane.
I know. But, you know, it was gray and wet and rainy today. It's going to turn to snow later this evening. Little old blue-haired ladies were trapped inside, and little old blue-haired men couldn't get out to the grills or any of the smokers or anything. So this evening, it was hamburger steak, baby. Yep. But when the little old blue-haired ladies do it, it's awful damn good. Big old thick juicy hamburger steaks that they did, you know, in the skillet, and then built up a beautiful brown mushroom gravy around it. Big pot of steamed rice. Oh, rice and brown gravy. It's just it's what's for dinner. And had a green salad to go with it. Yeah. Little carrot and raisin salad. That'll perk you up in late February. Yeah. And then for dessert, they did that 7-layer pie thing, or 4-layer pie, you know, whatever they did with the sweetened cream cheese and the flour pecan crust and the rich chocolate pudding and the whipped topping across the top. And then little chocolate shavings. Took the chocolate to the grater and put that bittersweet chocolate over the top. It's real good. And the deacons went wild. And then they trundled their massive bulk up the couple of flights of stairs and went out to the parking lot where they all stood under the awnings with the sinners. And, hey, buddy, you got a light? And chain smoked for a little while because they knew they had 3 hours of work ahead of them. But even with it being rainy and shitty and miserable, Sister Carol Baker showed up at the vestibule door. She didn't let the solar-powered cathedral cattle prod get out in the rain. That can be a little dangerous. But a little bit of the mist got on, and it crackled real good. And that got the deacons' attention. And they know that we got a lot of work to do to finish out the week here. So, it being rainy and all, they actually moved a little faster than they ordinarily do. And they came in through the vestibule and passed that desiccating bowl of butter mints. And they went thundering down the center aisle, and they're gathered right here waiting, each of them having one of those heavy brass-bound, velvet-lined, burgundy velvet-lined plates in their hand, a collection plate with a PayPal button in the bottom that's connected to the cathedral Wi-Fi. And they're getting ready to move amongst the congregation as we bring up, brethren and sistren, glory, hallelujah, the minister of music to lead us in the offertory hymn.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world, the fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane!
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen!
Amen!
Let me hear you say, praise the Lord!
Praise the Lord!
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around!
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around!
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD. Just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah. Solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity, yeah. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh, Huck, Sut, Ralston on the Rillera, and a brawl, a suet. I love you. Welcome, welcome to prayer meeting Wednesday. I'm calling on you now, brethren and sisters. I'm calling upon you. I'm reaching out to you, imploring you to get up off of your seats and get on to your feet. Amen. Glory. And squinch and screech and scrooch and wiggle and waggle and waddle. And get out from betwixt the pews. And careful with the pews as you exit the pews. Le pew, not pew. And walk without rhythm. Hout, amen, so you won't attract the worms. And come on down that blood-red aisle. And fall upon your knees at the altar. Reach, all of you, reach and your hands out on the subwoofer and feel the healing rays of, oh, common sense flowing through you. Oh, amen, from the server on high. I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized Agnostic, Vicarious Vicar, Maximum Metropolitan, Munificent Mullah, Good Guy Guru. Scintillating Swami, Bob Kincaid, and this is Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn, brethren and sistren. Like I said, the coronavirus has proven to be a fertile field for the grift and the graft of the real professionals in the religion industry, gospel sharp business. You may recall within the last couple of weeks, Hank Kuhneman, who runs a dodge called One Voice Ministries,
He said America would not be hit by the coronavirus because Donald Trump loved the little fetuses in Israel. Well, not so much. It's here. It's going to get more here. But Hank Kuhneman, his One Voice Ministries isn't really One Voice because his wife gets in on the act, too. And that would be Brenda. And Brenda wants the world to know that she and God and sweet fake baby Jesus, they got this.
Father, right now, we speak over this situation with this coronavirus. And Father, we thank you. First of all, we are not under the curse, but we are under heaven's blessing.
That's her husband translating as she goes. I guess he's translating it into Reformed Egyptian or something.
Blessing. And so,
or maybe Elvish, I don't know.
Father, we right now, as the people of God, we speak the blessing, we declare the blessing, but even as the prophetic word is declared and prophesied, we say to that virus that the hands of the Lord have come.
Wait, she's talking to the virus. Quit it. Oh, this is just too good. You're gonna tell that there coronavirus what for? Hell, she's speaking English, and it's Chinese. How's she ever going to get the message? Maybe that's what Hank's translating it into. I don't know. But she's giving that virus a damn fine talking to, and she knows. I mean, she got news for the virus.
We say to that virus that the hands of the Lord have come to clap against you and destroy you.
You know, when you're talking about a virus, it's probably best not to use the word clap. I mean, far be it from me, but God's going to take out the coronavirus by giving it the clap. Is that what she? Yeah, I think so.
And we say that it shall be quarantined by the mercy of the living God. Even in this nation, Father, I thank you it's being contained. It's being contained in Europe and Heavenly Father being contained in various parts of the world. Well, they say cases are popping up. We speak a holy containment and a quarantine by the Holy Spirit to go across the land.
See, they got a little more energy than Rodney Howard Brown does, because Rodney can't do nothing about anything but Florida. He can't do the whole world. But they're, by God, they're no shrinking violets, Mr. and Mrs. Kuhneman. They're going to do the world.
And we say, Lord, let the angels of the Most High go forth to be commissioned, to be to walk and to benefit those that are heirs of salvation, but even those that are not part of the covenant, Lord, we ask for your mercy to be upon them and to drive this virus out into the dark places. Let it be cast out from the nations and be contained and to dissolve.
Wait, do you notice they're telling God what to do? They're not asking. There's no Mother May I or Pretty Please in there. They are bossing around the imaginary, all-powerful, almighty, knows-all, tells-all, great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky. They are telling, not asking. That's some, a different language, but that's some chutzpah.
And to be broken and neutralized by the power of the living God. We say, coronavirus, be neutralized in the name
lose
of Jesus.
Power,
and
strength.
Yes, and lose your power. We command that demon.
Yes.
That is.
Finally, Jesus gets a little bit of credit there. That's the first mention of Jesus, and we're a minute and 37 seconds into the clip.
Going forth, we say in Jesus' name that it loses its strength, and this thing dissipates, and even a supernatural inoculation of the Spirit comes.
Inoculation.
Now, and brings forth healing and a cure.
Yeah. So that's the Kuhneman's work in the coronavirus angle. But Rick Wiles over at True News managed to stop his anti-Semitic shtick for a little bit, having been recently bounced been bounced off of YouTube for his vicious Christian anti-Semitism. What's that, Brother Deacon? Brother Deacon Ace, drive this virus to the dark places. So she wants Africa to be afflicted by the coronavirus, you know, dark continent and all that. Yeah. Oh, Brother Deacon, Brother Deacon. You know, well, dark is anywhere that the light of Christianity ain't shining. But Rick Wiles has a different cure for the coronavirus. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's not going to mumble in tongues or give it the clap or anything. And it has nothing to, and you know, Florida schmorta. No, he knows the real way to stop the coronavirus.
You have a plague, Mr. Xi Jinping. You brought it on China. Now, do the right thing and repent and tell the Chinese people you are sorry, you made a mistake, you repent, and ask them to put up in their homes the painting of Jesus Christ.
Which one? Would it be okay if they used the painting of Jesus Christ sitting there with his homie, Dr. Ben Carson? Would that be inappropriate? An okay picture of Jesus? Ron and Raleigh says, "Hey, sister, skip a bit, Sister Kunamon." And yeah. Jeff on the left says, "Well, that solves that problem. I feel so much fucking better now." Yeah, now that we know the coronavirus is going to get the clap of God. But no, a couple of billion Chinese folks, all they got to do is put up a picture of Jesus in their house, and wow. Yeah, you know what? I'll bet you Rick Wiles has a picture of Jesus that they can buy. And hell, he probably had it made in China in the first place. Free shipping. Oh, I wish I was kidding. So what happens after they put up their Jesus house painting?
Watch what happens if you do it. The plague will stop. You, Mr. Z, turn to Jesus. You give your heart to Jesus Christ. You repent of your sins. You.
Hanan Shabbat. Hanan Shabbat. No, wait. Wrong. Sorry. Wrong incantation.
Believe on his name, and you lead China to the cross. Do it, Mr. Z. Do it for your people. Don't be a fool. Lead China to Jesus, lead them to salvation. The plague will stop.
Yeah, okay. Jesus gonna stop the plague. Stephen, New York, Brenda and the coronavirus. They really are tempting the goddess of irony. I will almost guarantee you that one of them will eventually get it. If the goddess is paying attention, and she don't miss much. So, you know, Rick Wiles would, I'm sure, be happy to go to Beijing. Nah, he'll stay here. He didn't want to get it, but he'd be happy to Skype in with President Xi and maybe pray over him get him all saved up and everything. And oh, for pity's sakes. The various religions in China are, for the most part, anywhere from 500 to God alone knows how many thousands of years older than the Abrahamic foolishness that comes out of the Levant. But, yeah. That's right, Xi Jinping. Never mind the science, never mind the hospitals. Never mind the quarantines. You just become a good neo-Calvinist Protestant freak like Rick Wiles, and coronavirus will disappear. No, I don't think so. Brother Deacon Asa says, you think this douchebag would have the testicular fortitude to tell Xi to turn to Jeebus, say, if he was within the borders of China? No, because he would probably then, be assigned to a brand new church in Wuhan. And, of course, people believe this idiocy. But a quick reminder, it becomes all too easy sometimes for us to forget that Christianity doesn't have the market cornered on hateful repression, oppression, misogyny, bigotry. No. For instance, let's pop over to India for a moment, where the guy who lost the 2016 popular vote and got to inhabit the White House anyway has recently been embarrassing us. Let's pop over to India and check in for a minute with Swami Krishnawarup, who has a message for his followers. It's a long clip, so I just sort of randomly stopped it somewhere. I have no idea what he's talking. I mean, I know what he's talking about. I don't know what he's saying particularly here, but
marso jare tyare apni paase ek ek vastu kai bhi rehvani nathi khapse khari etle main kale kalak bagadyo to hal se ni sharir saru ni ho to ni hale rupya shuddh ni ho to ni hale sam khapse j અહીંયા છે ત્યાં સુધી આ બધું ખપશે જ, એના વિના હાલશે જ નહીં. એ તમે વિચારો, બહુ વૈરાગની વાતો સાંભળી. ના ના, હવે આપણે ક્યાં કોઈની જરૂર છે, ક્યાં કોઈની પરવા છે? શરીર હોય કે ન, શરીર તો નાશવંત છે, આ તો વિષ્ઠા થઈ જવાની છે. એમ ના હાલે, શરીરને એકદમ સાચવું પડે.
This goes on for 43 minutes and 16 seconds. Now, whatever might he have been saying, you might ask. Well, I'm here to explain. What Swami Krishnawarup is saying, and there's a bajillion. Well, religion probably got invented in India. You know, the really formal stuff. Once you get past animism and you start building temples and things like that, probably all started in India. They've been at this longer than us. Us Europeans, us... It, right. Oh! Well, I'm glad you do. Brother Deacon Asa says, oh, I love this new multilingual prayer meeting Wednesday, Bob. And happy to help. Maybe we'll have to do more of it. But Swaminarayan faith says that one achieves salvation by being totally devoted to God. And this particular guy, Swami Krishnawarup Dasji, among other things, his faith, the Swaminarayan faith, runs a school, and we talked about it here on the program, runs a school where recently more than 60 girls had to pull down their panties in order to be inspected to make sure that they weren't menstruating. You know, it's funny how they achieve salvation by being totally devoted to God, but they also manage to spend so much time worrying about female genitals. And so in that clip, what he is declaring along the way, maybe not particularly in that moment, I got nothing. I don't speak the language. But what he explains is that if women cook food while they're having their monthly cycle, that they will be, they are guaranteed to be reincarnated as female dogs. No doubt about it. It's a certainty. Yep. He claims the sacred texts make it plain as day. Yeah. Bitches. If you cook while menstruating, you're gonna come back as a bitch. You know, I'd kind of like to just see a woman look at him and go, "Oh no, I'm right here," and then maybe just knee him in the balls or something. But there's equality involved here. Because, yeah, the women will be reincarnated as bitches, but the guys who eat the dinners that they cook while they're having their period, that the women, yeah, right, they are guaranteed to be reincarnated as a bull. Now, in some places, cattle, in some faith traditions there, cattle are sacred. And then that's why Nitwit Nero, when he went to his banquet, didn't get to have his usual New York strip done down to shoe leather with a half a gallon of ketchup. Yep. The video went viral. He delivered his sermon in Gujarati, and he said, and I will not do the silly voice, "It is certain that men will be born as bullocks in their next life if they consume food cooked by menstruating women. I don't care if you do not like my views, but this is written in our Shastras. If a menstruating woman cooks food for her husband, she will definitely be born as a female dog in her next life." Doesn't that mean that that hubby and the rest of the family are sort of on a week-long fast then? Or do they just live on, like, instant rice and instant oatmeal and instant grits for 1 week a month? As Yul Brynner put it in The King and I, "'Tis a puzzlement." But every one of these things, all the religions are post-sedentary agriculture, and thus they are all bent toward maintaining the patriarchy and making sure that the women folk don't get all uppity. And it was all originally born out of fear. Yeah, what's that, Ron? Ron in Raleigh says, subject line, "The Swami." Put a soundtrack behind him and he'd sound like Punjabi MC. I suggest the Knight Rider theme. Oh, Jesus. Oh, yeah. Well, true. Give credit where credit's due. Jeff on the left says, Bobby's still more coherent than a Trump speech. Meanwhile, we have this. "Hey, Bob, I remember you asking the proper way to sacrifice rubber chickens to the goddess of irony. I've been doing so, but there's a lot of melted rubber from the emulation. immolation. Here's my question. Can I take these melted rubber chickens and turn them into divine tire patches? We can make them to repair bicycle tires or car tires, and China would have the divine protection of the goddess of irony. Signed, your buddy Dave in the blind. Dave's mind never stops working. He's always trying to figure out a way to bring the silliness to more of the people of this suffering planet. Good on you, Dave. Good on you. Oh, okay. Steve in New York, Rick Wiles in China. Old Rick wouldn't get the coronavirus because he'd be carrying a photo of Jesus in his wallet. Duh. God, sometimes it's like I don't even think about these things. And then, of course, there's those folks, our partners in peace, over in the noble, majestic, royal, puissant, serene, high, gracious kingdom of Saudi Arabia, you know, where Crown Prince Mohammed bin Bonesawin lives. Well, they get real worked up real quick when the women folk get uppity in that Abrahamic patriarchal system, religion. Yeah, and so a woman by the name of Asael Slay made a video. She had created a song called Bint Mecca, which is translated as The Girl of Mecca. And she uploaded the video to YouTube, and well, here's a little of what it sounds like.
أنا بنت مكة أصيلة وعشانها تشقى أي في وقت الشدة ما نتكة يشد بالظهر لقيني عدك أي فلوك هذه الشعب ساقة نمبر وان هي راح تبقى كيف الجمال هنا راح تلقى بنت الغربية بنت مكة
Pretty sick fucking beat. Definitely dance to it. I didn't mean to play the whole thing. It's infectious. Well, suffice to say that the noble, majestic, serene, high gracious, puissant, Prince of Mecca is all head up about this. Oh, because it's filthy and it's dirty, and it uses the word Mecca. Again, we're dealing with a language of which I have no understanding whatsoever. But apparently, it's a song about her being proud of her city, the sacred, majestic, serene, noble, high, gracious, puissant city of Mecca. And in the song, she says that women who are from Mecca are powerful and beautiful. And she says that the women of Mecca are sugar candy. And then in the video, there's some men folk and some women folk a-dancing together. And hoo-wee is the Prince of Mecca hot! And I don't mean in a good way. Oh, he's pissed! Dancing! Man, he's madder than a deacon late to dinner. Oh, he's angry. And the thing is, when you get the Prince of Mecca mad at you, it's not like he just stomps around and flag stagging, not pull flazalack and fraz knocking person got clacking. Nope. He's had everyone involved in the production of the video arrested. Governor Khalid bin Faisal Al Saud. Oh, look, he's a member of the House of fucking Al Saud. That Al Saud. Yeah, what? Demanded the arrests of the artist, Asiel Slay, and everybody who produced the video. He said because it offends the customs and traditions of the people of Mecca and corrupts children. Hey, some things never change. Remember what Socrates got handed the hemlock cocktail for? That's right, corrupting the children, corrupting the youth. Mm-hmm. Saudi feminist Amani al-Ahmadi told the BBC, "This is so typical of the Saudi government to do, bring Western influencers to art-wash the regime, but attack real Saudi women who try to artistically express their cultural identities." And because there's really not much in the way of justice, or anything that could be recognizable as justice, in a place like Saudi Arabia, off with their heads! That's our peace-loving, head-lopping friends and bone-sawing buddies. If they get arrested, they'll probably be charged with blaspheming. And if they get charged with blaspheming, they'll probably be convicted of blaspheming. And if they're convicted of blaspheming, well, yeah, they'll get that shoulder-level shave. Jesus. A woman writes a song saying the women in her city are like sugar candy. And that they're powerful and beautiful. And they probably are. They are. And it has put her at hazard for her life. We refer to places like North Korea as a pariah state. But how are places like Saudi Arabia not pariah states of the first order? And why is it that just because they've got enough money to burn a herd of soaking wet elephants with soaking wet $100 bills? Well, I think I just answered my question, didn't I? But if we had any morals, if we had any decency, we would lead the world in saying to Saudi Arabia, "Fuck you! Fuck you and your head-lopping, bone-sawing ways. See if you can eat your oil." But, you know, we won't do that. Because because their money spends damn good. Yeah, what's that, Jeff on the left says, if Prick Wilde were confronted with his Christianity in China and faced the consequences of standing up for his Savior, he would deny Christ three times before the cock crowed so fast Peter's head would spin. Oh, sure. And that's why he ain't going to China. That's why he's not going to China. Okay, hold on. We're going to try this little experiment here. Ron and Raleigh has gone to the trouble of scaring up the Knight Rider theme. So,
... શરીરને તો સ્વસ્થ જમતું જોઈતું એટલું ઔષધ ઔષધની પેટે અન્ન લે અને શરીરને સ્વસ્થ રાખે. એ શરીરથી હવે હવે જોજો આ પાંચે વસ્તુને પરફેક્ટ રાખીને કરવાનું શું છે. તમે શરીર સ્વસ્થ રાખ્યું, સંપ સારો રાખ્યો, નામના સારી બનાવી લીધી, પૈસા સારા કમાણા, આ પાંચે પિલર મજબૂત કર્યા પછી છઠ્ઠો જે પિલર છે ને.
By God, Ron, that was a that is some inspired damn genius. Oh, huge cowbell for Ron and Raleigh. That was awesome. But still, I got to say, I don't think the beat is as sick as the Mecca Girls. Maybe we could redo it using Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark that did Tesla Girls? Mecca Girls, Mecca Girls. Oh, yeah, I know. Religion is so mean and hateful and stupid. I tell you, we're having a real hard time getting to that Star Trek future, aren't we? Oh, shit. And so, before we get too thoroughly convinced that this is all just, you know, those people, dang foreigners, right? Let's take a quick trip, and oh hey, we've got some horrifying news coming out of Milwaukee. Oh, Jesus. Mayor of Milwaukee says multiple people are dead in that city, including the homicidal maniac. Shooting occurred in the 4100 block of West State Street, Milwaukee. Oh, God. Mayor Tom Barrett says multiple people have died, including the shooter. Happened near the Molson Coors complex. There was a horrific shooting, said the mayor. That occurred. It is a horrible day for the employees at Molson Coors. Molson Coors put out its own statement. There's an active situation at our Milwaukee facility, and we're working closely with the Milwaukee Police Department. Our top priority is our employees, and we'll provide updates in conjunction with the police as we are able. Molson Coors texted its employees during the event at 2:19 p.m., active shooter on the Molson MKE campus in or near South Packaging. Find a safe place. Active shooter on campus. Ongoing situation. Police are on scene. Remain in lockdown. We are still in lockdown. Please remain in a safe place. Police are investigating. Well. ATF got on the scene. And issued an active shooter alert. FBI Milwaukee is there. The CEO of Molson Coors was at a conference in Texas and is making his way back. Jesus God. As Steve in New York says, so Milwaukee won the NRA death lottery. Yay. Oh, God. Yeah, the NRA's roulette wheel of death spun and spun and spun, and the little pointer wound up on Milwaukee today. Hey, Ralphs, do me a favor. We worry about the members of our community, and Ralphs is in Milwaukee. Please just send me a note. Say you're okay. I hope no one you. Jesus. trying to find out about the address by Nitwit Nero. Yeah, Kelly, I am going to get to the bill. And you have every right to be pissed. Like I said, before we assume that all this religious insanity is you know, somehow loopier some in other countries. Well, here in West Virginia, the legislature has apparent the Republican legislature has apparently solved all our problems. No lack of access to health care, no hungry people, nobody out of work. Everybody's above average. Because that's the only way it makes any sense that a legislature would spend its time on a piece of idiotic, foolhardy, dumber than dog shit bill like what they passed yesterday. The West Virginia House of Delegates has passed a bill that says that school districts in West Virginia can offer an elective biblical history class in the public schools. Not comparative religion, mind you, because we wouldn't want the little scholars learning about other religions, just Christianity. The bill, in order to stave off lawsuits, pretends to be facially neutral. But since it's a Bible class, by definition, it can't be. And of course, the Bible isn't history. It's religion. Some guy named Joshua did not march around the walls of Jericho playing the St. Louis Blues on a trumpet and make the walls come down. Joshua fit the Battle of Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit the Battle of Jericho, and the walls come a-tumbling down. No. One wonders if the class will include the story of Lot's daughters. And Lot was a righteous man, it says in the New Testament, in which Lot's daughters, having seen their mother turned into a pillar of salt fleeing Sodom and Gomorrah, and they've only got their daddy there with them, and they're sleeping in a cave, and they did manage to get out of Sodom with a few wineskins of Thunderbird. And the two girls look at each other and says, let us get our daddy all liquored up with the Thunderbird, behold, and let us lie with him that we may be with child, for we shall never find a husband. You know, now that the all-knowing, all-loving, all-seeing God Almighty has roasted our hometown and our boyfriends with it. And so one of Lot's daughters got daddy all liquored up and went to riding him like a pony and hollering, "You're my daddy, you're my daddy, you're my daddy." And the next, and she said, "Yea, verily and forsooth, my sister, that's pretty damn good. Your turn." And so the second night she shows up with the, "Behold, my father, here I bring thee thy evening wineskin of Thunderbird. Enjoyest thou until thou hast a fine and happy buzz." Lot does. Lot was apparently a lightweight because he passed out again. And then next thing you know, "You're my daddy, you're my daddy, you're my daddy, humpity, 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 humpity." And Lot was a righteous man. I don't know if they're going to teach that story, or the one where the children of Israel slaughter all the men and women of a town, but they save back the virgins so that the priests can rape them for God. Um, I don't know if they're going to teach that one either. I mean, biblical history, baby. Oh, for God's. My delegate, a religious maniac lawyer by the name of Tom Fast, who once spent copious amounts of time tormenting a pair of lesbians who specialized in taking in and foster parenting at-risk newborns that nobody else wanted. He used his power as a lawyer and the power of the courts to torment those two women because he said they needed it, that those babies that nobody wanted to foster needed a daddy because Jesus. Well, Tom Fast said in defending this stupid fucking bill, "It was the Bible that influenced our country more than any other book." Horse shit, Tom! Guy with a law degree ought to know better. Blackstone's commentaries on the laws of England had more influence on America than the Bible did. Cook on the Law had more influence on America than the Bible did. Hobbes, Locke, Rousseau had more influence on America than the Bible did. And I should know, because my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-granddaddy, the Scotsman, Alexander Kincaid, was the publisher of what is known as the Scottish Enlightenment, many of whose ideas show up later in the Declaration of Independence. Goddamned idiot. It's a good thing I never run across that fucker. I might have to ask Jesus Almighty God to give him the clap or something. So, here's what we know about the legislature of the state of West Virginia. The bill passed, and the tally, the final vote tally, was 73 to 26 and one abstention. And the 26th who had the courage to stand up for the separation of church and state, stand up for the First Amendment, stand up for the Constitution, stand up for common fucking sense, because West Virginia's public schools, if they are not at the goddamn bottom, are very near the goddamn bottom. You know, it's one of those situations where Mississippi, Alabama, and West Virginia take turns thanking God for the other two states. Sorry, Haley, maybe Arkansas too. But the 26 who voted the right way on this stupid bill, well, when they run for re-election, they're gonna get beaten over the head with, "He voted against the Bible and he voted against Jesus. Hey, probably want to take prayer, public schools, God." You know what we probably need in the public schools in West Virginia? Latin? French? German? Chinese? Spanish? You know, Mandarin? Whatever. But no. Oy. So now it goes to the state Senate, where the Republicans will fall all over themselves, showing their devotion. You know, to Jesus. Because the difference in the fundamentalist Christianity of West Virginia and the fundamentalist Islam of Saudi Arabia is largely, I mean, you know, fundamentalists in West Virginia don't like dancing either. And they don't like that hippity-hoppity music. All right. And good God, what a party it'll... See, I have a little bit of history insofar as I was very closely associated with Dr. Bill O'Brien's PRISM program, in which he tried to teach history teachers how to teach history, you know, or tried to teach public school teachers how to teach history. And it was challenging, to say the least. Finding finding somebody who could do a halfway decent job. Well, you can't do a decent job teaching something like that. And so that's, you know, that's what Kelly says when she says, "I'm really pissed about it." See, a comparative religions class wouldn't be a terrible thing. And in fact, when I went to college, a public state school, I had several Bible classes, and I enjoyed them immensely. And they were taught by a guy who really, really knew his shit. But he over and over and over again through the course of the class said, "If you ever think I am trying to get you to believe anything, you say so. Because that's not what I'm doing, it's not what I'm going to do, and I don't want you thinking I am." Two days ago, February 24th, a third grader named Malcolm Cohen came to testify or speak to the West Virginia House of Delegates in regard to this dirt, dumb, ignorant as hell bill. The ACLU of West Virginia wrangled him the invite. He said, "Good morning. My name is Malcolm Cohen. I'm a third grader at Piedmont Elementary School. My dad told me about this bill that would put Bibles in schools, and I thought it was a bad idea. And I'm here to tell you why." This is a third grader from the public school, a public school in West Virginia. What courage. He said, "My little brother and I are the only Jewish kids in our school. One day last year at my after-school program, the teachers taught us about Jesus and made us pledge allegiance to the Bible. It made me feel very worried and confused. I felt like I was doing something wrong. When my mom came to pick us up, she could tell I was upset. She asked the teachers what was wrong. They said they had made a mistake. They said me and my little brother shouldn't have been there while they were teaching about the Bible and Jesus. They said from now on they would send me and my little brother to a room by ourselves when they talked about the Bible and Jesus." That solution seems so, so stupid to me. How would you feel if you were sent to a room all by yourself just because you're Jewish? If they have Bibles in schools, I think other kids who don't believe in Jesus will have a tough time like I did. I think you should vote against this bill. Thank you. And 73 members of the West Virginia House of Delegates said, "Fuck you, kid!"
Christ killer. Fuck you. Maybe if you would have gotten saved, you'd understand.
So, yeah, it's another evening for being monumentally embarrassed by my state. Damn. Hey, has anybody checked in on Nitwit Nero's big address? Is he still addressing? I'm looking now. Oh, okay. Now it apparently is set for 6:30. And it's not going to be an address, I guess. It's going to be a news conference. Oh, this ought to be a real laugh riot. And we are... Well, that's true. Brother Deacon Asa says, what were those GU students doing in West Virginia in the first place? That's God's country. Well, that's what Mel Gibson's daddy thought. Mel moved his daddy about 20 miles away from here. I know I've told this story before. Hutton Gibson, who moved his family to Australia to keep his kids from his kid Mel from having to from running the risk of being drafted to serve in Vietnam, was a virulent anti-Semite and a hardcore anti-Vatican II Roman Catholic. And when he moved here, he said he was moving to West Virginia because West Virginia was full of hard-working people, and that by definition meant there wouldn't be any Jews. Yep. Agnes and I were talking about it the other day. She actually met him. Ooh. Randy and PA says, saved? I didn't know that I was spent. Well, see, you only find out that out when the flames of hell start, you know, licking at your toes. Quoting somebody from a popular website about the Milwaukee gunman. But he was a responsible gun owner just this morning. That's why I do that thing with the language where I spell lawful gun owner, parenthesis, capital L, close parenthesis, capital AWFUL, gun owner. Because all you got to do is drop one letter and you go from lawful to awful. And the distance from lawful to awful is precisely the distance that the trigger has to travel in order to engage the firing mechanism. Yeah. Hey, let's check out a little bit more of that sick beat. Children, Mandrake. Children dancing to the hippity-hoppity music in Mecca. And you know what? They're even wearing pants. Huzzies! Jezebels! والله حزينه يا حسره للمخاوينه هنا الاصل اسمع حكاوينه ومن الحسد الله يحمينا يا والنعم في باقي البنات بس بنت مكه سكر النبات
بالعطا ما تقول لك هات اسمع الهرج والله مكسات هادي ودي وديك وداك من الحب ما أشداك صدقني هي مبتغاك حتدور غيرها الله معه عني وعن بنت مكة بغني.
And sitting there in that restaurant eating food and everything and desecrating everything that everything God stands for. Sinners. Yeah. So here at the almost halfway point of the program, we've still got $515 to raise to close out the week. And look, if we could get it done early, we'd have fundraising free radio tomorrow and Friday. So, yeah. Darlene in Connecticut writes, Jesus! Sorry for that reference. The third grader who was sent to the other room is kind of reminiscent of when they told the Jews of the Holocaust to do, you know, enter that nondescript building room over there where they would all get a nice hot shower. Didn't AOC say there were buildings like that one in the concentration camps near the border where kids were separated from their parents were being caged? Yes, she did. Sick on all levels, and I'm not referencing the great music you've been playing, I know. Ron in Raleigh writes, Mel Gibson's daddy, he weren't too fond of the nigra either. Just remember, all white people aren't Nazis, but all Nazis are white people. Rather an inescapable conclusion. But Malcolm X! You know what would be a good thesis, Randy, NPA asks? When the airplane was invented and people flew up there and found no God in the sky, contradicting what was in the Bible. Yeah. In fact, I don't know if you're a Kurt Vonnegut fan or not, Randy. But I think it was released posthumously. Maybe not. But there's a collection of Kurt Vonnegut's short stories from his heyday as a short story magazine writer, short fiction. And I think it's called, the name of the collection is Bagumbo Snuffbox. And there's one short story in there called The Thanosphere. Yeah, see, before Thanos was a thing in a comic book, Kurt Vonnegut was, and the premise is that they go up into space and find out there's a part of the atmosphere that's nothing but dead souls floating around. You might enjoy it. It's a great story. The whole short story collection is fantastic. Hey, I didn't. Yeah, you know, kinda. Brother Deacon Asa says that Arab woman sounds like Nicki Minaj. You have a point. Scott in San Diego says, regarding using the Bible in schools, if there were any real merit to the practice, they'd use the good book instead of cookbooks in school cafeterias nationwide. I mean, who wouldn't want the ability to take just 5 loaves of Levy's Jewish rye and 2 of Mrs. Paul's fish fillets and magically feed a multitude of noisy, hungry lunchtime students at schools everywhere? Why not? Kind of hard to argue with Scott's logic. Oh, and an update. Remember, asks Flavio, remember that Republican state senator from Tennessee, Joey Hensley, who was fretting about a mere tax holiday for feminine hygiene products? Well, over in Scotland is set to be the first country in the world to make period products free to all. A consultation document proposed modeling the scheme on the card-based system for free condoms. That system requires users to register for a card or voucher to exchange for the products. It'll cost about $47.5 million to the Scottish people. The plan passed its first vote in the devolved Scottish Parliament. Scottish MP Monica Lennon has been working on it since 2017. She said, "These are not luxury items. They are indeed essential, and no one in Scotland should have to go without period products. We're changing the culture, and it's really exciting that other countries right around the world are watching very closely to see what we do." Well, they're not watching in Tennistan. Damn it. In Tennistan, they love Jesus and hate periods. And the people that have them. Damn it. God bless America. Oy. And I've got to kind of kill time for a few minutes here to until the news conference starts, and I'll tolerate as much of this as I can. But God, wait, what's that? Have I gotten on the wrong side of Darlene again? I keep screwing up. Please don't insult the woman rapper by comparing her to Nicki Minaj. Barf, can't stand her. Oh, now you'll get hate mail. Nah, probably not, Darlene. The people in Tennessee, but they love question marks, says Steve in New York. So, by the way, I've been filibobstering along. Lines are open if you want to jump into the conversation. Let me make sure that we got the whole. Let me make sure I got the stress line set up. And of course, Skype Bob Kincaid, Bob Kincaid Horn, on Skype, BobKincaidHorn. Yep, stress line's good to go. And I heard from somebody for the first time recently, so a shout out to Audrey. Hey, Audrey. Audrey is another of our Canadian friends up in Ontario. Great to hear from you. Audrey says, "I'm a huge fan. Listen to you every night. What an extraordinary community you've built. So many kind, funny, intelligent, and compassionate people. I know I can't really..." Well, yes, you can. Meantime, keep doing the wonderful work. My very best wishes to you and Tracy and Lady B, Darlene, Scott, Todd, and everybody who is a part of the Horn community. Thank you, Audrey. That's just lovely. Thank you so very much indeed. What's that? Subject line, Mel Gibson. Robert in Australia writes, "I saw Mel Gibson on stage at the Sydney Opera House in a play called No Names, No Pack Drills. It was the story of an American sailor who overstayed his leave in Sydney during World War II. He was hiding out in the flat of a young woman while being tracked by the police. And his dad brought him to Australia to avoid the Vietnam draft. We had a draft for Vietnam here in Australia, referred to as death lotto by the then Prime Minister's wife. Australia pulled out of the war in 1974. Maybe Mel didn't become a citizen until after that. Did he ever become an Australian citizen? I'm not sure. I don't know either. Robert notes, we had seats right up the back, so it was a bit hard to see faces. And Ron in Raleigh says, hey, can I put in a peremptory skip a bit, brother, on Orange Julius's news conference? Yeah, you can. You absolutely can, but let's just see what's up. Oh, God, get the hockey puck. Hell, I'll get my hockey puck, too.
And we're live now at the White House in the briefing room where moments from now, President Trump...
Okay, so he's late. But of course he is. Let's see, I can see Sanjay Gupta, Dr. Sanjay Gupta, standing in the back doing some sort of stand-up for CNN, those folks on the front row. I don't see anybody from Alex Jones yet. Let's see. Here are some people who threw away all their credibility to remain in the regime of Nitwit Nero. Filing in. Kind of crowded. All right, tall ones in the back. Damn it, this shouldn't be so hard. Somebody give me a harumph. Suffer quietly, Flavio. Flavio says, you're going to subject us to this? Really? Look. I think there's a purpose to this. We know he's going to fuck up the response to the disease. We don't know how thoroughly he's going to fuck up the response to the disease. I mean, among other things, a budget document saw the light of day that shows that he wants to fight the coronavirus by taking money from, no, not the wall, but by taking money from the emergency home fuel oil heating program for the poor. Because, of course, he did. Yeah. Let's see. He hasn't come out of his spider hole yet. So, let's check in with Tracy. Tracy's on the way to the theater this evening. Hey, Tracy.
Yeah, I'm going to go see Escape to Margaritaville.
Damn,
wow, man.
Hey, I'd love to see that. I know all the songs.
Well, you know what? I will fly you out here. I didn't know you were a parrot head.
Huge parrot head.
And I have so much respect for you, but then again, you are white, so.
Yeah, I'm allowed. I'm genetically predisposed.
You're allowed.
I'm genetically predisposed.
Yeah. Because that's part of our season subscription. Escape to Margaritaville. This season wasn't all that good. Just really. I mean, I am looking forward to My Fair Lady, and the band visited. Or
the
something like
rain
that.
In Spain falls mainly in the plain.
In the plain. I love My Fair Lady. And there's another, and then Hamilton, of course, that's coming
Darlene
back.
Says, don't insult spiders, my friend. And then Darlene says, hey, Tracy.
Hey, Darlene. So, yeah, no, it's been, I've been kind of, you know me, I go into my, rabbit hole or whatever, and I pull the covers over my head and pretend like everything's going to be okay. But, because I'm tired. I'm tired of hearing stupid. And so I appreciate that you're going to take that you take one for the team on a daily basis.
Enduring stupidity is exhausting.
But it's true. Again, I am doing so much. And it's just, I don't need to spend what little energy I have left on bullshit and stupidity. I mean, you know, sometimes things you cannot avoid. I mean, you know, things slip through. But, I mean, just a couple of weeks ago before the really, you know, the craziness of the coronavirus, this teacher sent a Asian student home or out of kicked him out of his class, her class, because he was coughing. Because, you know, Asian means coronavirus. And, you know, obviously, he, you know, he's just a cop. You know, he coughs. So, yeah, I'm going to kick him out of class. And but, you know, it wasn't racial. Speaking of the coronavirus, so have you ever heard of Xing Yun? It's a Chinese ballet company, opera company or something. And I've always wanted to go see the show, but I have never have. And, you know, they've been playing. I mean, this thing has been touring for years. Okay.
Yeah, I've seen ads for
but
it.
Now with this, okay, so here's the thing. Now, like I said, I've seen this commercial for at least, I can honestly say, for maybe at least 10 years, probably, if not longer. And so for the first time, it said Xing Yun and, you know, Chinese this and this and this. The other day, they changed the ad. The voiceover on the ad to New York based.
No, really?
So in other words, yes. So in other words, please y'all don't not come see the show because you're afraid that our performers is going to give you the coronavirus. In all the years that I have seen this commercial, never, ever, 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 ever have they ever said New York based. You. Because they know how stupid Americans are.
Well, I got one for you.
Uh-oh.
You've probably heard the name of Lucy McBath. She is a freshman member of the House of Representatives from Georgia. She was elected after she decided to run for Congress after her son Jordan was blown away in Jacksonville, Florida.
No, I haven't. Oh, yes, I have. Yes. You just remind. Yes. Because, like you said, I'm like, okay, you know, people who, you know, run, have a, you know, their lives are forever changed by a tragic event or something. And they're like, if I can't save my child, maybe I can do something to save other people's children. So I'm going to run for office kind of person.
She is an African American mother of a murdered African American son, and she's in the middle of her first congressional term, and it's driving the Republicans in Georgia and nationwide absolutely batshit crazy.
Among other things.
They sent a package to her mother-in-law's in Tennessee to try to prove that Lucy McBath lived in Tennessee and not Georgia. And then there's this horrible, horrible, terrible, awful person named Camille Gallo. And Camille Gallo is a staffer for the National Republican Congressional Committee.
Mm-hmm.
Lucy McBath endorsed Michael Bloomberg for president because Bloomberg has done so has worked hard to confront the National Ruble Association, the NRA.
Ruble Association. Yeah, you had it right the first time there, buddy.
So today Black History Month still.
Yeah, we got what? One more. What's today's date? We got two more days. Or three. Three more days. Saturday is the last day.
Thursday,
yeah.
Friday, Saturday.
It was a leap year.
Extra Black History.
Today is this year, Bob.
Yep. Extra.
Because it's a leap year.
Yep. And so we get extra Black History. And Camille Gallo has now made some Black History of her own because she posted a photograph of a for sale sign with Lucy McBath's name on it.
For
For sale, 2020, Representative Lucy McBath.
Wow, bitch.
And to their credit, wow. And to their credit, the Georgia Democrats said, see, this is what we're not going to do on Black History Month, next month, or ever. Placing the name of a black woman on a for sale sign is disgustingly tone deaf and racist, even for the National Republican Congressional Committee. Keep Lucy McBath's name out your mouth.
Remember what I was saying earlier today about, you know, how sometimes it's very difficult for me to imagine how I have friends with certain, because, you know, I had a falling out with a friend of mine who was white. And it's like, and, you know, as a black woman, and I'm pretty sure every black listener, Lady B, Reggie, Todd, who the, Ron and Raleigh, see, I didn't forget you this time.
Well done.
And on and on and on. See, I got, I'm like, I'm not going to get no hate mail. Oh, no. I'm
no,
gonna,
but, you'll, but you will. From, no, no, because you didn't say hung like Jesus, and you didn't say, and you didn't say Les.
Sandra. And Les. And Sandra. Sandra. And, you know, so, but I did do it at all. But it's just like, we have, and, you know, I'm so tired of being the calm, you know, collected person that you all know I can be. And especially when it comes to when your friends, what I would call the melanin challenge, and they say something stupid and racial or what have you, and you point it out to them, and they get all, well, I'm not a racist. I'm like, I didn't say you're a racist. I said what you said, and your actions can be turned or decidedly can be seen as racist. And I'm trying to tell you as a friend who loves you, that shit won't play. And if you're saying it, fortunately, in front of me, who's trying to be understanding, since racism is so built into the DNA of this country, a lot of times we say things that are racist, and we, there's no intention behind it. There's no malice behind it. It's just that you just, you know, it's part of the lexicon. Like that time I, you know, when I said, you know, limey and or Indian summer, two things, and I didn't, not realizing that those terms and those words were racist or bigoted or what have you. And what did I do? I said, oh my God, I'm sorry. And I didn't pull that, oh, I didn't mean to offend you bullshit. I'm not.
And you learned from it.
And I learned from it to the point that I will never say it again. And if I do hear it, I will let other people know that we are not to say these things because racist.
Right, and you got a note from but Darlene. Darlene says, love your Lizzo ever, 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 Tracy. And is that the colorful onstage Asian dance extravaganza? It is. And that's a brilliant deduction about the location change. I think you've nailed it, Tracy, trying to distance themselves from coronavirus fears, which the media is playing up. And Pussy Probus is talking now. Scott in San Diego says, Tracy's right, around here that damn ad runs more frequently than some political ads do. I'd go see it, but I'm sure an hour later. Wait.
I want to see it again.
I'd go see it, but I'm sure an hour later, I'd just be jonesing for more Asians leaping across the stage again.
Yeah, exactly.
Scott.
So, you know, so you learn, but I've learned, as the older I get, the more I realize the fragility of white people. I mean, there's actually a book about the fragility of white people and white women's tears and, when you call, so, like I said, this person that I was friends with, I guess we're no longer friends because they stopped talking to me. And it's like, fuck, man. You know, I have very few people in real life that I let into my life. And and even fewer still white people that I allow to see who me as Tracy. So when I do allow you into my life and I, you know, I tell you not my, you know, some deep, dark shit about me and because I could trust you and all that, and then you turn on me because I'm saying, you know, I made a, like the comment that you made is racist. And you get, instead of saying, oh, my God, really? You know, I'll never say that again. But then you get all in your feelings and I'm, well, how dare you call me a racist? Never called you a racist. But then again, when you get so upset about what I said to you, then I'm wondering, well, maybe you are a closet racist. Don't know. You know, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, maybe, just, maybe cutting too close to the bone. Right.
That part.
And Darlene says, don't have Billable Rick go see the play, otherwise everyone will definitely die. Sorry.
Die.
Love you, Billable Rick.
Oh, God, I love her. But it's like,
I know. So I hate to do this, but let's check in with. Oh my God!
You're gonna do it.
I'm gonna do it. At least I'll have some company. Hang on.
Exactly right now, that I'm gonna be putting our Vice President Mike Pence in charge.
Oh, that I'm
and Mike will be working with the professionals, and doctors, and everybody else that's working. The team is brilliant. I spent
maybe Mike Pence can bring in Hank Kuhneman to pray to tell God to give the coronavirus the clap.
Back to me, but he's got a certain talent for this, and I'm going to ask Mike Pence to say a few words, please. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Mr. President. President Trump's made clear from the first days of this administration we have no higher priority than the safety, security, health, and well-being of the American people. And from the first word of an outbreak of the coronavirus, the president took unprecedented steps to protect the American people from the spread of this disease. You counted those briefly, but the establishment of travel restrictions, an aggressive quarantine effort of Americans that are returning, the declaration of a public health emergency, and establishing the White House Corona Task Force are all reflective of the urgency that the president has brought to a whole-of-government approach. As a former governor from the state where the first MERS case emerged in 2014, I know full well the importance of presidential leadership, the importance of administration leadership, and the vital role of partnerships of state and local governments and health authorities in responding to the potential threat of dangerous infectious diseases. And I look forward, Mr. President, to serving in this role, bringing together all the members of the Corona Task Force that you've established, HHS, CDC, DHS, the Department of Transportation, and state. This team has been, at your direction, Mr. President, meeting every day since it was established. My role will be to continue to bring that team together, to bring to the president the best options for action to see to the safety and well-being and health of the American people. We'll also be continuing to reach out to governors, state and local officials. In fact, in the recent days, the White House met with over 40 state, county, and city health officials from over 30 states and territories to discuss how to respond to this, to the potential threat of the coronavirus. We'll be working with them in renewed ways to make sure they have the resources to be able to respond. And as the President said, we'll be adding additional personnel here at the White House to support our efforts on the President's behalf. We'll also be working with members of Congress to ensure that the resources are available for this whole of government response. And we'll be working very closely with Secretary Azar and his team that have done an outstanding job communicating to the public to ensure the American.
Not exactly inspiring, given the fact that Secretary Azar proved to be about as useless as a screen door on a submarine when he was testifying before Congress. And this just in from Darlene in Connecticut. News alert, first U.S. coronavirus case of unknown origin confirmed in Northern California. A sign the virus may be spreading in a local area. Darlene says, oh, shit, this is getting worse and worse and worse. News is moving fast tonight. Please warn Tracy, Scott, Billable, and all of our valued and beloved Californian friends. Shit, 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 shit. Yeah, and Steve in New York responding to Mike Pencilneck Geeks blithering about the CDC says, oh, is that the CDC's whose funding he wants to cut? Precisely. And by the way, Mike Pence talking about disease, this may not have been the best idea, Tracy, because Mike Pence resisted efforts that would have slowed the spread of disease in Talibandiana while he was governor.
That part.
Yeah. And so here's Alex Azar. This ought to be a real laugh riot.
As of today, we have 15 cases of COVID-19 that have been detected in the United States, with only one new case detected in the last 2 weeks. We also have 3 cases among Americans repatriated from Wuhan and 42 cases among Americans repatriated who had been stuck on the Diamond Princess in Japan.
At least they didn't get sent to Alabama.
Decisive actions, including travel restrictions, have succeeded in buying us incredibly valuable time. This has helped us contain the spread of the virus, handle the cases that we have, and prepare for the possibility that we will need to mitigate broader spread of infections within the United States. The president's actions, taken with the strong support of his scientific advisors, have proven to be appropriate, wise, and well-calibrated to the situation. We're grateful for the hard work that healthcare workers, first responders, communities, and state and local leaders have put into the response so far. Because of this hard work and the president's leadership, the immediate risk to the American public has been and continues to be low. Our containment strategy has been working.
You know what the containment strategy is, don't you, Tracy? The containment strategy is Nitwit Nero putting Mike Pencilneck Geek in charge of the effort to stop the spread, and then when it does, being able to say, hey, I'm just here. I gave that to Mike Pence. He fucked it up, not me.
He fucked it up.
That's the containment strategy.
He's positioning Pence to be, you know, roadkill into that bus that he's throwing him under.
And other organizations should refresh themselves on how they would respond in the event that the situation worsens. We're encouraging Americans to learn what future steps might be necessary to keep themselves and their communities safe. Knowing these potential steps now...
Meanwhile, Nitwit Nero is standing behind him, sort of, and every now and then he opens his mouth with his lower lip, lower jaw, and fish breathes. He looks like an orange silverback gorilla.
He's in the White House request to Congress that the White House made on Monday. These priorities are first, expanding our surveillance network. Second, support for state and local governments work. Third and fourth, development of therapeutics and vaccines. And fifth, manufacturing and purchase of personal protective equipment like gowns and masks. As chairman of the president's coronavirus task force, I'm committed to providing regular updates from our coordinated interagency process.
Oh, and by the way, by mentioning masks, there's a big giveaway there, Tracy, because I saw confirmation of what I've been saying all along. Wandering around with a surgical mask on your face is not going to help you keep from getting the coronavirus. It's useless. That's to stop spreading it.
You can't even find masks. I mean, you know, they're sold out. I've never really tried to find a mask because educated and knowing that it's not going to stop the spread of the coronavirus. So I've never done that. But it's amazing how many, how many people, especially Asians, that I see walking around here even before the coronavirus thing hit, lots of Asians walking around with face masks on. And I don't know why that is. But ever since this whole thing with the coronavirus, you know, leaked into our, you know, in our existence or left, people, you know, they've been saying that, you know, they're selling out of face masks left and right. And the best way to prevent this, along with everything else, is, you know, hey, how about you just wash your hands? I mean, I've been washing my hands so much lately.
And here's another thing to ponder. So he made Mike Pencilneck Geek the point man on the coronavirus response, but he did. So not the director of the CDC, Robert Redfield, not the Surgeon General Jerome Adams, not a doctor. A guy who thinks,
not a guy, but rather a guy who
got all butt hurt when people talked about the fact that he hears voices in his head and thinks they're God. Now here's the principle.
Here's the gay out of you, that part too.
Yeah, here's the here's the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention principal deputy director, Dr. Ann Schuchat.
The spread of respiratory viruses. So this, the trajectory of what we're looking at over the weeks and months ahead is very uncertain, but many of the steps that we have taken over the past 15 years to prepare for pandemic influenza and our experience going through the 2009 H1N1 pandemic of influenza remind us of the kinds of steps that our healthcare system, our businesses, our communities, and schools may need to take. We're in this together, all of government, the public, and the private sector, and the CDC wants to make sure you have the best information available every day. Thank you.
I just want to give you a very quick update on the... my name is Dr. Tony Fauci. I'm the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases at NIH. Just a very quick update on the countermeasure development in the form of vaccines and therapeutics. I had told this audience at a recent press briefing that we have a number of vaccine candidates and one prototype one to give you a feel for the time frame of a vaccine and what its impact might be now and in subsequent years. Is that I told you we would have a vaccine that we would be putting into trials to see if it's safe and if it induces a response that you would predict would be protective in about 3 months. I think it's going to be a little bit less than that. It's probably going to be closer to 2 months. That would then take about 3 months to determine if it's safe and immunogenic, which gives us 6 months. Then you graduate from a trial, which is phase one of 45 people, to a trial that involves hundreds, if not low thousands, of people to determine efficacy. At the earliest, an efficacy trial would take an additional 6 to 8 months. So although this is the fastest we have ever gone from a sequence of a virus to a trial, it still would not be any applicable to the epidemic unless we really wait about a year to a year and a half. Now, that means two things. One, the answer to containing is public health measures. We can't rely on a vaccine over the next several months to a year. However, if this virus, which we have every reason to believe it is quite conceivable that it will happen, will go beyond just a season and come back and recycle next year. If that's the case, we hope to have a vaccine. And then finally and briefly, therapeutics. There are a number of antiviral drugs that are being tested. A few days ago, we initiated a randomized controlled trial of a drug called remdesivir, which has antiviral activity in vitro in an animal model. The good news about that is that it's a trial that's randomized to either placebo or standard of care and drug and standard of care, which means that we will know reasonably soon whether it works. And if it does, we will then have an effective therapy to distribute. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. First of all, you have just come from a long and busy trip from India. And
great country.
As far as this coronavirus is concerned, you have a great scientific and medical team behind you and with you, and I'm sure they will keep America safe. As far as your trip to India, Mr. President, where do we go from here after U.S.
Really? Really?
You're asking that? Really?
You know that guy was called on, you know, Nitwit Nero called on him for a reason. Oh, God, he's going to answer the question.
Long flight.
Man!
It's a long flight. Oh. He's a great gentleman, a great leader. It's an incredible country. We were treated very, very well, and we really enjoyed it. A lot of tremendous progress was made in terms of relationship. Our relationship with India is extraordinary right now. And we're going to be doing a lot of business with India. They're sending billions and billions.
Oh, he's doing business with India. He has more Trump properties in India than anywhere else but the United States. Just saying.
The CDC said yesterday that they believe it's inevitable that the virus will spread in the United States, and it's not a question of if, but when. Do you agree with that assessment?
Well, I don't think it's inevitable. It probably will. It possibly will. It could be at a very small level, or it could be at a larger level. Whatever happens, we're totally prepared. We have the best people in the world. You see that from the study. We have the best prepared people, the best people in the world. Congress is willing to give us much more than we're even asking for. That's nice for a change. But we are
I'm going to
totally
steal it and use it on
ready,
the wall.
Ready, willing, and able. It's a term that we use. It's ready, willing, and able. We have. It's going to be very well under control. Now, it may get bigger, may get a little bigger, may not get bigger at all. We'll see what happens.
Wait a minute. Dumbass said it was going to be gone in the spring when it got warm.
You talked a little earlier about the screening measures that you put in place and the travel restrictions you put in place regarding China. At this point, as the virus spreads in Italy and South Korea, are you planning on adding those countries?
Well, just so you understand, you know, I'm the president of the United States. I'm not the president of other countries. Other countries, some are on the list that are very respected in what they do in terms of what we're talking about. But I really want to be responsible for this country if it means placing very strong, a very strong situation on the border so people can't come into our country from a country that is infected. We're doing that, and we've already done it with numerous countries. But we have to focus on this country. I don't think it's right to impose ourselves on others.
Oh, wait. So he gets asked a question about imposing travel restrictions from white countries, and all of a sudden he doesn't want to impose. I have to award a cowbell real quick. That goes out to Jeff on the left. Bob, I'm amazed that reporter guy was able to ask a question with Trump's dick in his mouth. So, yeah.
Oh.
We got another question.
Clarify, are you considering restricting travel to and from South Korea, Italy, and other countries that have been affected?
At a right time, we may do that. Right now, it's not the right time, but at a right time. And we are checking people as they come through, specifically for the problem that we're dealing with. So we're checking a lot of people if they're coming from South Korea. Has been hit pretty hard. Italy's been hit pretty hard. China is obvious what's happened in China. But again, the numbers seem to be leveling off and going down in China, which is very good news. So we'll see what happens.
The White House has spent a day denying that they are going to appoint a czar to run point on the coronavirus response. Today, the Secretary Azar testified that he didn't think one was necessary. They were going to run it out of HHS. And you yourself have been downplaying this. So why are you now selecting the vice president
to run point? Well, Mike is not his vice president. He's in the administration. But I'm having everybody report to Mike. Mike's been very good, very adept.
I need somebody to blame.
Anything about healthcare. They look at the Indiana model, and it's been a very great success. It's been a tremendous model in terms of healthcare, and this is really an offshoot of that. So this isn't a czar. I don't view Mike as a czar. Mike is part of the administration, but I'm having them report to Mike. Mike will report to me. They'll also be reporting in some cases to both. I'll be going to meetings quite a bit, depending on what they want to do and what message we want to get out. But we've done really an extraordinary job. When you look at a country this size, with so many people pouring in, we're the number one in the world for people coming into a country by far. We have a total of 15 cases, many of which, almost much within a day, I will tell you, most of whom are fully recovered. I think that's really a pretty impressive mark. Now, we did take in 40 people that were Americans, and they're also recovering, but we brought them in, so I call that, I have a different group. But we felt we had an obligation to American citizens outside of the country that we're trying to get back in, we thought it was very important.
The stock market has taken a big hit over the past few days. What can you do about that? And if the CDC is right in saying that the spread is inevitable, are you going to be dealing with stock market issues and economy issues for some time to come?
Well, I really think the stock market, of something I know a lot about, I think it took a hit maybe for two reasons. I think they look at the people that you watched debating last night.
I know so much.
A possibility that can happen. I think it really takes a hit because of that. And it certainly took a hit because of this. And I understand that also because of supply chains and various other things and people coming in. But I think the stock market will recover. The economy is very strong. The consumer is the strongest it's ever been. Our consumers are incredible. They're incredible. That's why we're doing well and other countries have not, even before the virus.
So, Steve in New York, Tracy, just had a pretty good observation. Nobody but maggots will believe any of this. This is pure PR. Notice how every speaker has to weave praises of the poopy pontifex into it. When anyone speaks, listen to the words like fabulous or incredible or unbelievable that comes out of their mouths. Finally, this would never have happened had the market not tanked 2,000 points. I suspect this will not allay the market's fears, and that will drive him bats. Meanwhile, Brother Deacon Asa, gaming this, tugging the thread and see where it leads, says, I wonder if this is the regime laying down the groundwork for quarantines and curfews, you know, later in the year. Like, about,
in November. Yeah. I've been hearing a lot about that on, you know, how you always are ahead of the curve when it comes to the crazy and, you know, so I've been listening to some of the progressive black radio stations. Have you? And because, you know, every time people, you know, Republicans get, if they're going to take the voting rights away from people, it's going to be my folks. And anybody that, you know, can't pass the paper round, you know, brown paper bag.
What if the quarantine is only for, say, the Western states that have the most traffic with Asia, let's say California, Oregon, and Washington.
That part.
But see, the problem is y'all can vote by mail.
See, we can vote by mail. You can't fuck with us.
Look for news that it can be spread by contact with objects.
Right. So yeah,
I'm waiting for that, and this is just some reality. I will leave this person's name off of it, but I have no reason to doubt what is being said here. Unless an antiviral is developed, 2/3 of the world's population are at risk. It kills those with compromised immune systems. Vaccine talk is just that, talk. There are no sustaining antibodies as of yet. My spouse is a clinical laboratory scientist, and my spouse has no positive news.
Well, like you said before, you know, and you've mentioned this on more than one occasion, even before this coronavirus thing started, because of, you know, the climate disaster that we're in right now and stuff melting, you know, things are on, diseases and viruses are unearthing that have been dormant for thousands of years, for millennia. And now we have, you know, we can barely fucking get the flu under control. Okay?
Yeah.
So,
Lady B has a note, Tracy. She says, real quick, I'm listening to this clown, and he reminds me of, well, I guess a psychopath. He's the type of person that'll come into a crowd of people and make them promises and talk about all the wonderful shit he's going to do. But then after he's gone, they still don't have health care. They still don't have jobs. Their water's still polluted. He's been in office 3 years, and he hasn't made a single step towards doing anything for anybody other than himself. Why do these people keep buying this bullshit? Because the bullshit is not the point. He gives them license to hate whom they want to hate, and he hates the same people they hate, and that is all of it. It may seem too simple, but this is just a nice, close shave with Occam's razor.
And this is why when, again, being a black person in this country and listening to the idiot, we have an idiot as a president. We're constantly rewarding mediocrity and people failing to the top. And those are usually, except for, rare occasions of, Herman Cain and Rappy Thomas, pews on the...
999!
And my brother, Ben Carson, and, there's a smattering of pepper in the sea of white.
In a great big bowl of salt.
Right. So we sit back, because I'm the spokesperson for the entire black race and also for, lesbians. So we sit back and watch the stories unfold and sit back and say, Jiminy Cricket, this is some crazy bullshit. And knowing full well the reason behind all of this is because, like you said, this man gives people the license to be who they are in public. Because, again...
And revel in it.
Revel in this shit.
Tracy, let's check in. Looks like you might have actually taken a serious question.
An opinion. That's something much more than an opinion. They did a bad thing. And there'll be more coming. There'll be more coming.
Tokyo,
leader
Hostel, July. Do you expect Tokyo will be...
I hope so, because Shinzo Abe is a very good friend of mine. I love the people of Japan, and I hope it's going to be in good shape. As you know, you have a number of people in Japan who have been infected. I hear they're doing a very professional job, which doesn't surprise me at all, with Shinzo and with all of the people you have. I know Japan very well. I think they're going to handle it very well. It's a little tight. It's a little tight. They spent billions of dollars building one of the most beautiful venues I've ever seen. And your prime minister is very proud of it. I hope it's going to be fine. We hope it will.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. The doctor at CDC just talked about dusting off preparedness plans. But coming from you, it has more weight. Do you feel that U.S. schools should be preparing for a coronavirus spreading?
I would think so, yes. I mean, I haven't spoken specifically about that with the various doctors, but I would think so, yes. I think every aspect of our society should be prepared. I don't think it's going to come to that, especially with the fact that we're going down, not up. We're going very substantially down, not up. But, yeah, I think schools should be preparing and, get ready just in case. The words are just in case.
Oh, and by the way, a reminder from Steve in New York. We're still under a state of emergency. And he can use that for basically whatever nefarious ends he seeks.
This will end. This will end. You look at flu season, I said... 26,000 people. I'd never heard of a number like that. 26,000 people going up to 69,000 people, doctor, you told me before. 69,000 people die every year from 26 to 69, every year from the flu. Now think of that. It's incredible. So far, the results of all of this that everybody's reading about. And part of the thing is you want to keep it the way it is. You don't want to see panic because there's no reason to be panicked about. But when I mentioned the flu, I said, actually, I asked the various doctors, I said, is this just like flu? Because people die from the flu. And this is very unusual. And it is a little bit different, but in some ways it's easier, and in some ways it's a little bit tougher.
What the fuck is he even saying? Again, the mortality rate from this virus is somewhere between 2.5% and 3%, whereas the mortality rate for flu, those 26 to 64,000, that's 0.1, 0.1%.
Americans are very upset when they look at the Democrat candidate standing on that stage making fools out of themselves. And they say, if we ever have a president like this, and there's always a possibility, it's an election, who knows what happens, right? I think we're going to win. I think we're going to win by a lot. But when they look at the statements made by the people standing behind those podiums, I think that has a huge effect,
Had to do with the coronavirus?
No, I think it did. I think it did. But I think you can add quite a bit of sell-off to what they're seeing, because they're seeing the potential, you know, again, I think we're going to win. I feel very confident of it. We've done everything and much more than I said we were going to do. You look at what we've done. What we've done is incredible with the tax cuts and regulation cuts and rebuilding our military, taking care of our vets and getting them choice and accountability. All of the things we've done, protecting our Second Amendment. I mean, they view that, the Second Amendment, they're going to destroy the Second Amendment. When people look at that, they say, this is not good. So you add that in. I really believe that's a factor. But no, this is what we're talking about is the virus. That's what we're talking about. But I do believe that's, I do believe in terms of CNBC and in terms of Fox Business, I do believe that that's a factor, yeah. And I think after I win the election, I think the stock market's going to boom like it's never boomed before. Just like it did, by the way, after I won the last election. The stock market the day after went up like a rocket ship.
At what point would you be considering loosening the travel restrictions regarding China?
When we're at a point where we don't have a problem. You know, we're not going to loosen the travel restrictions. That's what saved us. Had I not made, Mike alluded to it, had I not made a decision very early on not to take people from a certain area, we wouldn't be talking this way. We'd be talking about many more people would have been infected. I took a lot of heat. I mean, some people call me racist because I made a decision so early. And we had
No, people call you racist, dimwit Donnie, because you are.
Good decision. But I was criticized by the Democrats. They call me a racist because I made that decision, if you can believe that one. We have to all work together. We can't say bad things, and especially when we have the best team anywhere in the world. And we really gave it an early start. We gave it a very early start.
Republicans have consistently called for enormous cuts to the CDC, the NIH, and the WHO. You've talked a lot today about how these professionals are excellent, how they're critical and necessary. Does this experience at all give you pause about those?
No, because we can get money and we can increase staff. We know all the people. We know all the good people. It was a question I asked the doctors before. Some of the people we cut, they haven't been used for many, many years. And if we have a need, and we can get them very quickly. And rather than spending the money, and I'm a business person, I don't like having thousands of people around when you don't need them. When we need them, we can get them back very quickly. For instance, we're bringing some people in tomorrow that are already in this, you know, great government that we have, and very specifically for this. We can build up very, very quickly, and we've already done that. I mean, we really have built up. We have-
a big amen to Lady B, Tracy. She says, listening to him pisses me off so much. He has no fucking idea what he's talking about. This could be a catastrophe, at least an economic one. And we have this clown as our leader? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. We are so fucked. Lee in New York says, subject line, quarantine. It must be the diseased Democrats who will be given notification to vote on Wednesday, November 4th. Trust the Republicans. They'll count the Democratic votes properly, which means to them, you know, not at all. Never let a disaster go to waste, says Lee. And Scott in San Diego, P.S., regarding Trump's press gathering today, I wouldn't trust these idiots to properly handle a package of Kellogg's Product 19, much less an impending pandemic from coronavirus 19. Well put.
But there are certain steps that you... We won't even be necessary. You know, in many cases, when you catch this, it's very light. You don't even know there's a problem. Sometimes they just get the sniffles. Sometimes they just get something where they're not feeling quite right. And sometimes they feel really bad. But that's a little bit like the flu. It's a little like the regular flu that we have flu shots for. And we'll essentially have a flu shot for this in a fairly quick manner. Yeah, go ahead.
President, 2 weeks ago, Mr. President, your acting OMB director was in this room and was talking about what he expects to be GDP growth for this coming year. He said it was 3%, and we've talked about the effects of the coronavirus on the supply chain, the declines in the financial markets. Are you still confident that you'll see that kind of economic growth this year?
No, we're going to have tremendously low unemployment. We're setting records in that way. In fact, the administration is the...
He didn't ask about unemployment, dumbass. He asked about your anemic 3% growth. What he didn't say is that Nitwit Nero promised 5 and 6% growth, which is damn near impossible, and on which he has never and never could deliver. Jesus Christ. Exactly. Jimmy in the Great Northwest agreeing with Lady B says, yeah, Lady B, he don't say much. He just talks a lot. Yeah.
Happened a year ago, all of a sudden, that happened. I think that took away a half a point to a point even. You know, it's a massive company. I think Boeing, we had the General Motors strike. That was a big impact on GDP. And, of course, we're paying interest rates. I disagree with the head of the Fed. I'm not happy with what that is because he's kept interest rates. President Obama didn't have near the numbers, and yet, if you look at what happened, he was paying zero. We're paying interest. Now, it's more conservative, and frankly, people that put them...
And when he says we're paying interest, he means he and his filthy little clan are paying interest, and he wants no interest loans. That's what he wants for himself. Jesus Christ, he'd let this country burn to the ground for a nickel.
Mm-hmm. Well, on that happy note, you got a play to go to. Yeah, we're gonna we have dinner reservations. I mean, we got plenty of time. We have dinner reservations at 6.
Are you taking the nice white girl? I mean, white Subaru.
We haven't decided yet. Probably. Not a jam real life, just because see they're doing something different. They have some of the shows at the Pantages and some at the Dolby Theater. And just so happens this is at the Dolby Theater. The parking situation is a lot easier because you can actually park underneath the theater at Hollywood and Highland, and then we're gonna go to dinner and walk over, you know, around and stuff like that. But before I bid adieu, just listening to this person and just thinking about if President Obama was still our president, how differently that press conference would have gone. And just to, you know, talk about...
Yeah, there'd be professionals, there wouldn't be bootlicks, lick spittles.
Right.
I don't think the CDC doctor and the NIH doctor are lick spittles, and that's why
no.
He just now directly contradicted what his own expert said. Immunization, no vaccine for a year and a half at the very nearest. And that's with them working faster than they have ever worked before. In an underfunded, understaffed CDC.
Exactly.
And this country is not prone to not panicking. I mean, you'll notice during that god awful worst of all the pageants last night. Lo and behold, there was Mike Bloomberg, and he pulled a Lois Griffin, you know, Family Guy. And he played the 9/11 card, and I went, Jesus, really?
Yeah. I got Bloomberg again. Speaking of which, but this time it's by mail. I'm on all these Democratic, you know, mailing lists and stuff like that. Fortunately, I'm the only one. Jan and Alex are not, so we're not getting a barrage of mail. But I got the mailer that Sparky was talking about, and then another mailer. And I am so sick of the fucking pandering to black people. It's like, you know, that one commercial that he does, what he's saying is true about the, you know, racial divide and the stealing of black labor.
Well, what I loved last night was when he said, and I know if I had been born a black man, it would have been much harder for me to build my company and be as successful as I am. AOB, no. It would have been approaching impossible. How many black men are there who are running gigantic, massive media operations?
That part. This is the sheer, it would have been hard. Motherfucker,
How many black? I mean, I think I could, I know. I don't even think Oprah's a billionaire, and I think Jay-Z and Beyonce are pretty close. But yeah.
Precisely. Well, enjoy the show. Enjoy the show, Tracy.
You know, I will. I will do my. I mean, I'm not. I'm not. Like I said, the only. I think the only Jimmy Buffett song I actually know is Margaritaville.
Yeah, that's about it.
And that's about it.
Cheeseburger in Paradise, probably.
No.
No. Huh?
What? Who? Again, who knows? I might. I might know more songs. It's like when I. When I saw, what was it that I went to see? Oh, in Cirque du Soleil, the Beatles show, Love. And yeah. I'm like, fuck, I know a lot more Beatles songs than I realize. You know, there's just certain music that, you know, you don't even realize that it's, you know, that there's certain people, that they're the Beatles or whatever, because you've heard it. And it's just kind of, you know, it's not, and I wouldn't say earworm, because it's good music. But you don't, it's like I said, that I actually not only heard the music, but knew the words. I'm like, well, fuck. I knew a lot more Beatles music than I ever thought I knew. So, I mean, so there's this very strong possibility that I know more Jimmy Buffett songs than I realized. And I know there's, but there's also some original music as well. So, don't know. But, you know, I'm going with an open mind, and I'm going to have a couple of margaritas. Well, no, I'm not. I take that back. That's a lie, because I got to be up early tomorrow. So, no, probably maybe one margarita. Got to have at least one. It's a night out. I mean, because, like, this season I'm not that impressed with, besides Hamilton and My Fair Lady. But here, we're actually, are you ready for what, I think the next show is coming? No, Hamilton is next. Guess what's after that? SpongeBob SquarePants, the musical.
Dear God.
Dear fucking God. But anywho.
At least you got My Fair Lady going for you.
Yeah, I got My Fair Lady and The Band's Visit. And that's, you know, that I wanted to see that the year that it won the Tony and I think the best something or another for Tony Shalhoub, who I just think is just the most amazing person ever. I love that man. He won Tony for his performance in it as well. So I've heard amazing things about it. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. But anywho, there was something else I wanted to talk about. Oh, well, it'll come to me. But, y'all keep, you know, we can't really do anything about the, you know, coronavirus right now other than, like, you know, wash your hands.
Wash your damn hands.
And I think wash your fucking damn hands, you nasty motherfucker. Oh, I have to send you, speaking of washing hands, there's an article today in, you know, from The Root. Very smart brothers talk about white men who don't wash their hands after so I'll find it and send it to you. Speaking of wash, I mean, it's like I think we have more to worry about catching the flu and hepatitis or what have you.
Well, get this before you go, you'll find this informative and helpful. Brother Deacon Asa just wrote and said, yes, 69,000 people die of the flu in the U.S. every year. I plugged the actual numbers in a good old-fashioned Texas Instruments calculator last night. The rate of influenza mortality in the U.S. works out to 0.002%. So far, the aggregate mortality rate from the coronavirus is 3.47%. That's three orders of magnitude. To put it simply, the coronavirus is 1,735 times deadlier than the garden variety flu.
I'm still here. Are you trying to talk to me?
I just read Brother Deacon Ace's thing.
I have to answer. No, I mean, like, again, the level, I'm at the point of my life where I'm just happy, glad that I have you guys and the things that I've learned from, you know, over the past, you know, almost 10 years of listening, can't believe it's been almost 10 years, of listening to this show and the things that I've learned and the things that have kept me sane. So on that note, as I bid my adieu, let's do a $50 challenge, shall we?
Oh, thank you.
Do something with Margaritaville, Jimmy Buffett. Or let's say I'm going, like, to Tracy, I'm going somewhere where black people should, you know, I might have to hold, turn in my black card because I'm going to go see Escape to Margaritaville.
So it's Tracy's, oh my God, I'm off to Margaritaville challenge. And so here in the remaining half hour of the program, if somebody out there or somebody's out there can scrape up $50, you will double it and turn it into 100. And that'll take us down to 415, which would mean that we're actually on track this week, and all we got to do is tomorrow and Friday.
That part.
So Tracy's $50, oh my God, I'm going to Margaritaville challenge is on the table.
Is on the fucking, on the motherfucking table, not just the table, y'all. On the motherfucking, I gotta get as black as I possibly can be right about now because, again, fucking Margaritaville.
Oh, just anyway. you got serious on that new on that new white Subaru. Fire up the Jimmy Buffett channel and just get in the mood on the way to the theater.
Okay. I will do that. So anyway, I love you guys. Y'all try to send some money because we need this show. We need it for, if nothing else, just for us to fucking stay sane and all that. So anyway, I'm out. And here's because my wife is sitting in front of in the.
You're getting the hand gestures, right? Okay.
Yeah, I'm getting the stink eye and all that bullshit.
All right, so, Tracy.
Anyway, I am out. I'll talk to you.
Enjoy. I can't wait for the review later. And that's our buddy, Tracy. Just as we wrapped up with Tracy, Nero himself wrapped up.
Wish him good luck.
Secretary Azar, given
the
Pence.
I think, if I could just clarify, I think you're not getting the point here of this. I'm still chairman of the task force. Mick Mulvaney's been serving an invaluable role for me as acting chief of staff, helping to coordinate across the government with my colleagues and the whole of government approach. Having the vice president gives me the biggest stick one could have in the government on this whole of government approach.
So you don't feel like you're being replaced?
Not in the least. When this was mentioned to me, I said I was delighted that I get to have the vice president helping in this way. Delighted. Absolutely.
Will you answer two more questions?
Not tonight. I've testified for 8 hours today in 3 hearings. But maybe tomorrow.
What's another hour?
Exactly.
Can you just answer some
questions? Yeah, and by the way, I mentioned it earlier. You can look the stories up. There was some really good journalism done on it. When he was governor of Talibandiana, Mike Pencilneck Geek presided over an AIDS HIV outbreak, okay? And it was deliberate because he didn't want to be doing things that would offend fake baby Jesus. And so he let people die instead. I agree. Kyle says there isn't enough alcohol in the world to get through one of those shit shows propaganda sessions. Holy shit. A virus 1,000 times more likely to kill you, and we're trusting the Trump administration to combat it. We're all fucked. Or just to put it as Scott so often and ably does, we're all screwed, Bob. I hope not, but... You know, having this clown car in charge of the response does not inspire confidence, as Steve from New York noted, in anyone except the maggots. Because remember, with Mike Pencilneck Geek there, there will be a default to Jesus. Jesus and science don't mix well.
Ooh, that's quality. Hold on. Lee in New York. Jimmy Buffett lyrics. Jimmy Buffett. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know where I'm gonna go when the volcano blows. U.S. Health. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know where I'm gonna go when Corona makes me blow. Which has a double layer of irony there, because for a long, 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 long time, one of Jimmy Buffett's principal sponsors was Corona beer. And yeah, there probably is some marketing involved. It was Steve who brought that up, and it just so happens that we've got Steve on the line. Hey, Steve.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
I just got off the subway. It's just walking, going by. You know what? This is nothing but a reality show. It's a reality TV show.
It's certainly being run that way.
I mean, this, you know what it reminded me of? Like I said in my email, you remember that fucking bizarro world cabinet meeting he had where everyone...
Yeah, everyone had to praise him and tell him how wonderful he was.
That's what this sounded like to me. That's all this was. Oh, he's doing a fantastic, and everything is fantastic and wonderful. It's just getting to the point where, look, I understand. I've asked myself that question a million times. How is it that these people don't see this? And I get it, that they do and they like it. But this, to me, Bob, this is bizarro world to the 50th degree.
Yeah, it is. And see, I'm going to pat myself a little on the back a little bit here. Because, you know, I'm the one who's been saying for months now, no matter how weird yesterday was, today was weirder. And no matter how weird today has been, tomorrow will be weirder still. I don't know that anybody else out there has really enunciated that as clearly as I have. And it's not a joke. It's our fucking reality, Steve.
I know it. Not much leaves me speechless. Every time he fucking talks, it leaves me speechless. Because I feel like it's like I'm looking at something, and from a realistic point of view, I'm not surprised by anything he does. But at the same time, does it make sense to not be surprised, but at the same time be shocked?
Yeah, because I've experienced that myself. It's like, yeah, well, this is predictable, but it's still it is. Well, yeah, you're a lawyer. You know the meaning of this phrase. It shocks the conscience.
At least. I have a friend of mine who's my law partner. I call it the parade of aliens. I mean, it's like if you saw a parade of, literally a parade of aliens walking down the street, 1,000 of them, and you knew for a fact. And you knew for a fact that they were actually aliens, yet a part of you would look at it and go, I can't believe I'm seeing aliens. And that's what this is to me. I don't know. It's just... And the weird and the increases in weirdness aren't linear. They're exponential.
Yes. It's kind of like the progression in the Richter scale. It's not right. Linear, it's exponential.
And I don't know. I just had to call in for a few minutes. I don't want to take too much time because I actually just got off the subway and I'm heading home to get the cat his insulin. But I was listening to that and I thought, who can believe that?
know.
Right.
You know, I also...
Yeah, I mean, Lee, also in New York there, subject line whirling dervish, said, "Wow, does he spin. He cannot even stay on topic with one sentence. I would call it word salad, but Trump cannot stand salad. The filler is pronouns and non-action verbs. Nouns are used to praise and insult. There's no time measure small enough to describe Trump's attention span." And it's absolutely true. I mean, a story. Now, this is just teeny tiny and trivial, but I saw a story today about something that had been said by Dr. Ronnie. You remember Dr. Ronnie, the Candyman Jackson?
Yes.
Who said that Trump would, you know, live to be 200 and was in fantastic shape and all. Well, he's running for Congress in Texas now.
Are you kidding me?
To replace a retiring maggot, one of the most maggoty right-wing districts in the entire country. I think it's Texas 13, maybe.
Who's in it now?
Whoever it is retiring.
Oh, okay.
So he's running, and he's talking about his time in the White House. And he said that he regretted that he had to leave before they could really get Trump's diet under control. And he went on to say that they were trying, though, because they would sneak some cauliflower into his mashed potatoes. Now, just to provide a little perspective on this, my dear friend, in whose memory we did the play back in January down in Alabama, was notoriously anti-vegetable. That despised him.
Uh-huh.
And when he was a little fellow, still in the high chair, his mother, and she was a lovely person, I adored her, in order to get vegetables into him, would hide a piece of cooked broccoli behind a little pile of chocolate pudding on a spoon. And that's how she got him to eat his vegetables.
It's like a child.
So, dig it. They are doing something that a 1965 mother did with her infant, finicky son to a 73-year-old, 74-year-old, full-grown adult man who's president of the United States. They had to sneak cauliflower into his mashed potatoes. Holy God, Steve.
My God. I wonder if he sits on a high chair and has a bib.
I mean, Dr. Ronnie Candyman Jackson went on to say, "Well, you know, we cut down on his ice cream, and that was good."
Bob, it's like a puppy.
Yeah, with mange and rabies.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
I mean, if he was an adult with a functioning mind. Your doctor, and you're the president of the United States. You know, you're not us. You got a doctor in the building every day, and your doctor looks at you and says, "Listen, you're the president of the United States. It's my job to take care of you. We're changing your diet, and we're getting your fat ass on the treadmill. And I don't care if you don't like it. You took an oath to the Constitution, and that oath to the Constitution requires." And includes you taking care of yourself so we don't have a presidential death in office. Okay, bub? Yeah, not taking away his ice cream and hiding cauliflower in the goddamn mashed potatoes.
Oh. Please tell me that this is a dream. Please.
I mean, am I overreacting?
No.
Because there are just, every now and then you see these little stories, and they seem to have so much, I mean, they're carrying freight that they seem too small to carry, and this is one of them. But goddamn, that's a character portrait.
You know what it sounds like?
What?
It sounds like I used to volunteer in a nursing home. And there was one of the wings of the nursing home had people who were had dementia. That's what that sounds like.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's nuts.
I mean, he can't even act in his own behalf. Oh my God. I think we both said it at the same time.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm going to run, but I just want to chime in for a few minutes, and then I'll leave the call box for somebody else. But I just had to chime in because it's just bizarro world today. Even worse, it seems to me.
And you know what? I would not be okay if it weren't for this community.
I wouldn't either.
I don't know how I would maintain my sanity.
Because it's one of those things where you look at it and you go, I can't be the only one seeing this. And now I know that there's plenty of people out there who are saying the same thing I am.
You know, one of my favorite modern films is the first Men in Black. Are you familiar with it, Steve?
Uh-huh.
You know the scene where Will Smith, he's being tested along with the best of the best of the best, sir? And they're on the and they're in the firing range. And these pop up monsters. I mean, they're monsters. And you know the army guy and the Air Force guy and the Navy guy, and they're just blowing away the monsters. And Will Smith sees one monster and another monster and another monster. Doesn't shoot at him. And then a little blonde white girl comes along with an armload of books, and he puts a bullet right between her eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And Zed afterwards says, why'd you decide to shoot little Susie there, champ? And he says, well, you know, I realized that one dude, he was just working out. He was all scary and shit, but he was just working out. And goes through the other monsters. And then he says, yeah, but then I looked at little Susie there. And what's she doing carrying a book on how to build an atomic bomb? Well, in a way, that's us. And that's the bigotry and the xenophobia that this administration fosters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, oh, you look scary. Oh, you look different. Shoot 'em. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the real dangers are sliding right past.
Right.
I don't know if you heard the story or not, but some neo-Nazis got busted in the Great Northwest today.
Uh-uh.
Yeah, they were busted by the feds, members of Atomwaffen. And they were busted for a campaign of attempts to intimidate journalists.
Where'd that come from?
Lügenpresse,
mm-hmm.
Fake news, mm-hmm. Lying media. Jim Acosta from CNN got into it with him a couple of days ago, and he said, you know, you're fake news, you lie all the time. And he said, sir, our track record for telling the truth is a heck of a lot better than yours.
Yeah, I saw that video. That was great.
Yeah. And then today, the Trump campaign, you probably saw this, filed suit against the New York Times over a piece that the Times published in 2019 by an op-ed writer, a former editor of the Times, who said that the quid pro quo was an overarching deal between the Trump campaign and Putin that Russia would help trash Hillary, and that in turn there would be more favorable economic policy toward Russia. And they sued over that. And I'm sure they sued over that because he demanded it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know these things. I mean, you know New York. Falwell v. Hustler.
The actual malice standard.
And you know that you know that they're protected by the First Amendment. You know that truth is an absolute defense. And, I mean, what lawyer in his right mind
would sign his name to that pleading, knowing that he was opening his client up to discovery that his client cannot withstand.
Bring it on.
I mean, am I missing anything there?
Nope, you're dead on.
You know, Ron in Raleigh says, what astonishes me is I'm seeing the for-profit media trying their damnedest to normalize this fool. These people will return to their offices and write articles based on the horse shit that issues from his gob. Look at the way Trump is treated versus the way that Bernie's treated. We will not be coming out of this. You know who says we've weathered worse and I don't know when? Or, you know, who says we've weathered worse and I don't know when? Four more years of this and there's no coming back. The Democrats don't have the backbone to roll this shit back. And I'm scared to death. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, Robert Byrd once told me many, many, many years ago, he said, son, there's only two ways to run a campaign, unopposed and scared to death. And we'd better be, Steve. We'd better be.
I am. I know I am.
And I have no qualms whatsoever with voting for virtually any of these nominees.
I don't either.
I like some more than others.
Mm-hmm.
I got no confidence in Biden. Bloomberg creeps me out. And between the three, Bernie, Bloomy, and Biden. And I can't get over it. Maybe it pisses people off. I'm not trying to. But I can't get over the creeping horrors that I feel at the idea of an octogenarian president. Because even under the best of circumstances, Steve, you know, Bernie, Bloomy, or Biden win. Trump goes away peacefully. Well, then 4 years later, we have to do this all over again. And doing this by fits and starts without an incumbent means that we will not solve the problems we need to solve. If we dedicated a program to just coming up with a list of the shit that needs to be fixed, it would take up all of 3 hours and probably another program as well. Don't you agree?
Yes, I do agree. I do.
And so, under the best of circumstances, we are consigned to that.
Well, you know what? It's kind of a Hippocratic Oath thing. First, do no harm. And then the other thing, too, is stop the bleeding. And I think those are the two primary things we are right now.
And I don't know if you realize it, but next week, the Supreme Court's going to hear arguments in the case that may very well put an end to the constitutional right of a woman to control the workings of her own body. It'll be Brett Kavanaugh's first big abortion case.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Bob, I'm going to head out.
All right, you do that. Enjoy your evening, and go take care of your kitty cat.
Take care of yourself.
All right, will do. Take care, Steve.
Thanks, man.
Bye now. Don't get a lot of good in-depth conversations with our buddy Steve. I enjoy them when we do. Thank you. Thank you, Todd. Todd says you're doing a great job. Appreciate it. And with 6 minutes left in the program, remember, Tracy put a $50 challenge on the table so that we could get down to just $415 to go. It has gone unresponded to, and it's Tracy's, holy shit, I'm going to Margaritaville challenge. It would be wonderful if we could knock that out and I could send her a note and she could giggle about it on her way to Margaritaville this evening down at the Dolby Theater. Obligatory Star Trek reference coming from Lee in New York. It's Dr. Ronnie, not Dr. McCoy. Dr. McCoy could order the captain. The Surgeon General cannot order POTUS. Stop it, Bob.
No joke. Please read on air. I am just one of the 132 whistleblowers from Hill. You are the first person I chose as I do my part as whistleblowers from Hill, says Shorty in L.A. Noting, Trump is scared now. Why, you ask? Thanks for asking. After we busted him for the State Department plane landing at a California Air Force base with 40 recovered patients and 40 infected passengers, all flying with those who were former healthy active duty military members, former healthy State Department personnel, all of this happening while the Air Force Red Cross medevac carrying med packs, passengers, traveling to California was diverted due to the virus. The people are offspring of Agent Orange veterans with the veteran parent, too. Denial because of the virus was the lie. The truth, Trump has frozen all monies to Agent Orange veterans. This means the kids that I raised from a promise to their father get nothing. No meds, no stipend, no home care, nothing. I blew a gasket. Current update. When I got the call this morning from overseas with the sounds of screaming hysterical tears explaining how their friends will not get treatment anywhere now, having to fly back home, space available if the pilot has to land, no one knows if they will make it home safely. The flight nurses handling passengers, Air Force nurses, were hurt so badly that in cooperation with the flight surgeon and pilot, that plane will not be doing anything but taking those AO family members home first, if needed in-flight refuel to their return their mission for other passengers. Why Trump is scared, because me, along with others, are now the whistleblowers from hell as of 3 a.m. your time. He was handed legal papers before the briefing, so he put the earpiece in his ear to hear the rest of his ass getting chewed out. I pray it was the Surgeon General. Interesting, Shorty. Interesting indeed. How the for-profit media treated Obama. This from David in South Carolina, Stan. Eric Bollard, I have no idea why press room keeps erupting in laughter during briefing on possible pandemic. I guarantee you that when Obama gave a briefing on Ebola, there weren't laughs. And that's from just a few minutes back. Trump's pickiness, Scott in San Diego says, I'm sure you heard during his trip to India, he wouldn't eat any of the veggie-based food. Of course not. See? It's shit like this, says Lady B on the way out the door. An article. To avoid November catastrophe, Democrats have to KO Sanders. As an older black woman, Lady B says, I've voted in enough elections to know that if white liberals don't like a candidate, they won't vote for them. I've been saying it to my twin, and I'll tell you now. Older, less politically wonky blacks are sticking with Biden because they believe he's a safe bet. He's immensely qualified. He was the freaking vice president of the United States, for God's sake. But that's not how it works for Dems. The Republicans get what they want by working the cult of personality angle, and that is a person who espouses the views of capitalism, Christianity, sexism, and racism. Republicans are ride or die for the cause. And if their party could take a pile of dog shit, stick a flag in it, and tell middle America that this dog shit will make America the same America it was that they grew up in, they'll vote for it. They'll turn out in droves to vote for it. In the meantime, so-called informed liberals will tell us that what we want is too risky, too much to the left, unlikable and hazardous to our republic. Instead of asking them why we can't force our way in and unite around a cause, any cause, liberals in the media will bitch about hurting middle America's feelings, and we will stare at our hands and say, yeah, you're right, man. The rest of America doesn't like voting for what's best for them, so it's better we play it safe and back away. Young liberals are tired and scared of the status quo. They'll push for Bernie in the media, and Bernie will get the nomination, health issues be damned. And then the young folks hyping him on the news will fail to show up to vote, and we'll lose the presidency again. Jesus, we will lose because young folks will expect older folks to do the heavy lifting in the general, and older folks will either play it safe or not vote at all. The rich liberals enjoy their tax breaks too much and won't vote. Moderate liberals think he's too extreme, and older liberals are scared to death of Socialism. Socialism. So we will fuck this up again because we don't have a single cause to unite around. We're way too fractured as a party. We have millions who have an agenda specific to their cause, and they believe one person can accomplish it. If anything, for us, it's also a cult of personality. We completely forget that it's just as much about the Democratic Party as it is about the individual heading it. Bob, I'm serious when I say I'm really scared. If Trump gets into office again, we're done as a country. And many liberal Americans are completely oblivious to that fact, because those same Americans are and have always been able to just not give a shit. I honestly believe those are the ones who just want to stir things up just to see what happens. It's like a game to them. But in this case, we all lose. I'm so tired of thinking about it. And that's the danger, too. But the difference is, folks like me are used to cultural and social struggles. It'll just be another day in America. It's my liberal, gay, transgender, and lower-class poor white friends who will really feel the pain. Signed, lady, I exploit you still love me. I tell you one and one makes three. I'm the cult of personality. B. Yeah. And ever so much more. But we're out of time. So we'll knock off for the evening with Tracy's Holy Shit, I'm Going to Margaritaville Challenge on the table to the tune of $50. And if somebody in the overnight crew can match that, or somebody's, then beginning with Thorn in the Side Thursday tomorrow, we will have only $415 to raise to mercifully finish this long, long, at least here in the hills, February. Thanks to all of you who keep the program on the air. Whether you are subscribers at Patreon or PayPal, Venmo, there's Venmo. Some or all of the above, a la carte contributors as well, some or all. Thank you. You're why there are no Buy Gold Now ads in this program, which means you're why there is this program. Thank you to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program, however you so choose to do. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, Ben, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.